Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Thank you so much for being with us today, for those here and in the multipurpose out there and in the kids' foyer as well. We're honored and humbled that you would fight the traffic to get here, and that you would sit in these pretty cramped quarters just to worship God with us, and so we're thankful for you. Luke chapter 24, forgive my voice, it's about shot. Verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Lord, let your word pierce our hearts today. Let it go deep within us and bring life change. Lord, we don't just gather to celebrate that one day you're coming again. We celebrate the fact that you are with us even in this moment. And you desire to do a work within us today. And we'll give you thanks for every good thing that you accomplish in and through us today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So just as we get started today, I just want to make sure everyone that you've ended up in the right spot, that you're at the right church, and that you didn't accidentally get into the wrong place. And today we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ died and then 3 days later rose again. And we don't mean that allegorically. We don't mean that metaphorically. We mean that literally today, that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, suffered a cruel death, and then 3 days later he rose physically, bodily again. We all on the same page? Now, if you preach with me, I'll get done sooner, so let's stay engaged here. All right. So we just want to give you some basic facts about the resurrection, just so we're all clear about what the resurrection accomplished. And number one, I would say this, just so we all agree, that the resurrection declares that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. He was more than a moral teacher. He was more than simply a good man. He was more than a prophet. He was, Romans chapter 4, four and one. He is indeed the resurrection is the affirmation of heaven that declares Jesus Christ, this is my son. Secondly, the resurrection declares that, I could have put this in a nice way, like the resurrection declared or that the work of God was accomplished, but here's how I put it. The resurrection declares that the cross worked. It worked. It did what it was supposed to do. If Jesus had stayed in the tomb, then we have, according to Scripture, everything to fear, and we are of all people most miserable because we have no hope. But today, because Jesus Christ rose again, because he ascended, because he did all of these things, we are to be a people that live out our hope daily in the hope that's not in ourselves, but is the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us he did not stay in the tomb, and thereby sin's grip was defeated. The empty tomb is, if you will, the receipt that sin's debt has been fully paid. There's nothing you and I can do. We can't earn God's grace. We don't deserve God's grace. We can't buy God's grace. It is only by the finished work of Jesus upon the cross, the emptiness of the tomb, his resurrection, that sin's debt has been paid. The resurrection also declares that death has been defeated. That death has been defeated. Not just postponed, but defeated. As some have found out recently, those within our own family here at Calvary, death still exists and it still hurts. But the reality is that death no longer rules. It no longer has the final say because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ today. Number four, the resurrection declares a new reality has begun starting the moment that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Easter is not simply about one man coming back to life. It is, if you will, the beginning of a whole new creation. Whole new creation. Not just in Jesus, but in you and I today. It's the beginning. Today, new life is possible. A new future is open that is more than simply what we pastors do on Easter. We talk about it is the reality of this day that there is new life possible. There is a new future. that is open. The kingdom of God has broken into our world today. It has broken into our past, it has broken into our present, and it is breaking into our future as well. The resurrection above all things declares that Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen today. Don't say it back yet. The resurrection declares that Jesus is alive. The resurrection is not just something that happened a long time ago. It means that someone dead is now alive, and that because Jesus Christ died and rose again, he reigns, he intercedes, he is with us today. We're not simply following the memory of something that happened 2,000 years ago. Indeed, you've come, you fought the traffic, you did all this, you're sitting out in the foyer and the other foyer in the multi-purpose room today. You're sitting with 1,000 other people because you and I both know that we are not following a memory, that just he's just as alive today as he was 2,000 years ago. He's just alive today as when he changed the water into wine. He's just alive today as when he washed the feet of his disciples. He's just alive today as when he healed the lepers 2,000 years ago. He's just as much alive today when he took five fishes or two loaves or five loaves and two fishes. I never get that right. And he fed 5,000 people. He fed 5,000 people. We have a saying at Calvary Community Church that we keep the main thing the main thing. When churches can get off and do silly and do crazy and do things that are so much less than biblical that it borders on heresy, we've determined here at Calvary we're going to keep Jesus Christ as the main thing. And I think that's why a lot of you are here today. Jesus Christ is the main thing, and let's make sure we understand why he's the main thing. Ephesians chapter 1 would tell us in verse 20 that God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. See, Jesus isn't the main thing just because we at Calvary Community declare Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is the main thing because he is the main thing. He is because he is. That all power and dominion and authority and principalities and everything have been placed under his feet. There is no king but Jesus today. And he is risen. He is risen indeed. And if all this is true, if Jesus is who he says he is, and that he is as scripture has declared that he is, if sin has been dealt with, if death has been defeated, if indeed a new reality has begun for us today, then the resurrection is not simply a truth to be believed, but it affirms that there is a power to live by starting now. Because Jesus Christ died and rose again, there is a power that changes how we live, not sometime in eternity. I love to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming again. One of the highlights of Easter is knowing that Jesus Christ is coming in glory and in power, that he will not come as the baby in the manger nor the suffering servant, but he will come as who he is, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I love to tell that, but beloved, sometimes we miss the point that not only is he's the king that's coming, he's the king today. He is Lord of our lives starting when he arose from the grave. Not only when Jesus Christ returns, but today the cross and the empty tomb secures our future, yes. But it also empowers us to become followers of the King this morning, right here, right now. Because the resurrection just doesn't defeat death, it breaks the fear. And hear me today, because if there's an underlying theme to this message, it's that we may not acknowledge it, but there is a fear that all of us tend to live by today. If we're honest, most of us don't live like death is lost and Jesus is won. We still fear, we still strive, we still carry things that We carry those words that feel final in our spirits, in our hearts. The words that said that you don't matter. The words that said that you could never be forgiven. The words that said that you could never be loved or valued. And though we don't think about them every day down deep where no one else can see, these words and the fear that these words are true haunt us today. I think to one extent or another, we all live in some level of fear. Sometimes we are afraid of what might happen. Sometimes we're afraid of what might be lost. Sometimes we're afraid of the future. Sometimes we're afraid of making the wrong decision, the wrong choice, afraid of things falling apart. And so consequently, you and I live just enough to get by. We live just enough to be, quote, religious. We live just enough to be Christian. And beloved, I got to tell you, in my heart and in my soul today, I think we're living below what Jesus Christ said we could be and are today. Does that make sense to anybody? We're living below. We hold back, we protect, we manage, we brace for the worst. We're alive, but not always living. And it's into this world, into this fear, into this deep concern that all of us may have, Easter speaks, not to simply tell us what happens after we die, but to tell us how we can live today, to show us what's possible while we're waiting for Jesus to return, what's possible. That the one who said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, meant it. He meant it today. I don't mean in some showy health and wealth, prosperity. I'm just saying there's something about the life that we are called to live in Christ that calls us to truly live, to truly love and embrace and care for and build our lives around the reality that Jesus Christ not only died, but he rose again today. We're starting a series next week on earth as it is in heaven, because not only are we to live in anticipation of what heaven is coming, but we're called to live in his kingdom today. There are things about the resurrection. I just want to make sure we understand, you know, those ladies, when they came, the resurrection for them wasn't expected. The Bible tells us in Luke 24, they came and they brought spices to anoint his body. They brought spices to take care of his dead body. And that's very kind, and it was necessary and all these different things. But they came not looking for life. They were simply trying to manage death. We still do that today. We try to manage, be it death, we try to manage our disappointment, we try to manage regret, we manage our fear, we manage aging, we manage loss, we manage uncertainty, we try to manage and try to keep control of as best we can this life that we live. No, they weren't looking for resurrection. They were trying to cope with the reality as they understood it. They were just simply trying to cope with the reality as they understood it. So the angels ask, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you looking in the tomb? I mean, there's almost an air of, you guys knew this, he told you. The Bible said later, they remembered his words. They were looking in the wrong place. But before we get on them, let's make sure we understand that many times we look in the wrong place as well. We look for life in things that just don't matter. We look for life in achievements, or we look for life in control. We look for life in security. We even look for life in religion that is dead without power or grace today. Here's the thing, if you get nothing else, you just can't find resurrection in a tomb-shaped world. This world offers nothing of resurrection power. It offers nothing that makes us live again today. We live in a place that values power over serving, control instead of trust, certainty instead of faith, self-protection instead of love. Resurrection requires what this world cannot ever give. This world doesn't understand nor can give trust. It cannot give hope. It cannot give love, and it cannot give grace nor mercy today. Here's the situation, the problem. If we're not seeking the one who rose from the tomb, then the tomb begins to shape us. Nod your head. That was pretty profound. If we're not seeking the one who rose from the tomb, then the tomb will shape us into a people of the tomb rather than living as people of the resurrection. So my question for me and for us today is, who do we want to live like? Do we want to live like people who are standing before the tomb, or do we want to live like people who have received resurrection power in the name of Jesus? That's who we are. And for the church today, if I'm off on a tangent, I'd say this, it's time for us to remember who we are once again. We're not children of the tomb. We're children of the risen Lord and Savior, and it's time to live like it. The resurrection rewrites what is final. 1 Corinthians 15:54 tells us that death has been swallowed up in victory. Not simply ease, not delayed. It's been swallowed up in victory today. At the root of every fear is this question, similar to death. What if everything falls apart? Well, resurrection answers that. If you're here struggling today, you think that all things are final, I'm going to tell you, the resurrection answers this, that God is not finished with you. If you've bought into the lies of the tomb, you just got to get a grip on this. You got to get a handle on it, that the tomb lies. This tomb-shaped world that we're living in lies. God's not finished. The cross looked final, and it wasn't. The tomb looked final, and it wasn't. The fear of these women, the fear of the disciples looked final, and it wasn't. Because what looks final in your hands is not final in God's hands. How do we know this? We look to the cross, it's empty. We look to the tomb, it's empty. Because he has risen again. What feels final to us is not final with God. If I may reiterate this one more time, because this is probably one of the regrets I have as a pastor of so many years. The resurrection is not just about then, it's about now. It's about now. The regret I have in ministry is one of them is this, that the resurrection isn't just about the future to come, it's the resurrection we live in today. It's the kingdom of God that has come today. According to Jesus, sin is not our master anymore, starting right now. The minute he walked out of that tomb, sin is no longer our master. He paid sin's debt. The minute he walked out of that tomb, our past is not our identity anymore. He gave us new creation, new life in himself, right now. And fear no longer has to dominate our future anymore, starting when? When he came out of the tomb, starting today. Resurrection is not just something we believe, it's something we are called to live in. The resurrection is not just a theological truth, it is a practical praxis that says we are called to live in the truth that he is risen, not only back then, not only when he comes again, but we are called to live in that truth today. Is this making sense to anybody? This is our calling today. Resurrection changes how we face everything in life, including death and everything before it. It may sound cliche, but here it is. Death is no longer a wall, it's a doorway. Death is no longer a wall, it is a doorway today. Don't get me wrong, death is real. In 40 plus years of ministry, I've stood in many a hospital room with families who've lost in that moment a loved one. I've stood in emergency rooms and I've been angry with God saying, we could have got a win here, but you let us down. I know what that's like. We've all felt the sting of death in our own families. Too much death not to know that death is real. Grief is real as well. Grief is real. I've held others while they wept. Others have held me while I wept. I've tried and failed more often than I care to admit to try to answer the question of why. The feeling of loss is real. We know people in our family here at Calvary right now. This will be your first Easter, much like we mentioned at Christmas and Thanksgiving. This will be your first Easter without someone very close to you who is not at the table. There'll be an empty chair. You know, the reality is death is going to touch all of us at some point. I never thought I'd stand at the graves of my mom, my dad, my nephew. Death can touch us, but I want you to get this down today. It can touch us, but it cannot keep us. It can touch us, every one of us, but it cannot keep us today. Why? Because of the cross. Because of the empty tomb, because of Jesus, death may touch us, but it cannot win. Why? Because the Bible declares that death has been swallowed up in victory today. Some of you in this room need to remember that the worst thing is no longer the last thing. The worst thing is no longer the last thing. Easter is God's declaration that what looked like the end wasn't the end, that what looked like defeat wasn't defeat, that what looked buried was only planted, that that tomb was a short-term rental. I thought that was humorous. I don't know why I said it out loud. It was a 3-day VRBO. Huh? But there was no way it was ever going to be his home for eternity. Because there comes that moment. You know, I'm reminiscing a lot lately. Over there, we had the big tomb. We had the choir back there. Some of you remember this stuff. And there comes that moment where we celebrate that the tomb begins to shake and the stone is rolled away and here comes Jesus. Say, boy, Ray, that's a great story. Oh, let me tell you, friend, that's not a story. That's real. That's our hope and our salvation. That's what makes this life worth living. That Jesus Christ was dead, and then in that moment where the Spirit comes upon him and he becomes alive again. The tomb was nothing more than simply short-term housing for the Son of God who rose again. As we come to the close and we're about to baptize, I don't know how many people, but there's been a lot. I want you to picture this and work with me in this picture. Create this picture in your own imagination, your spiritual imagination. There's one of the women who come back to the tomb. She's all by herself. And I guarantee you she's already weeping on her way to the tomb. That's how I interpret this scripture, John chapter 20. So Mary stands out outside the tomb and she is heartbroken. She's just weeping. The stone's been rolled away, but that hasn't brought her any hope. In fact, the truth is she's more confused than ever. The body of Jesus is gone and she doesn't understand. And she asks this question, and I think it's an appropriate question for someone here today. Where is he? Where is he? Someone she loves has been taken. It's a place of loss. It's a place of confusion. It's a place that doesn't make any sense. And then there's someone she recognizes is standing right next to him or right next to her. And she doesn't recognize who it is. Isn't that silly of her that she doesn't recognize Jesus when he's right in front of her? She thinks he's the gardener. But that's what grief does, and that's what fear does, and that's what this tomb-shaped world does. It clouds our vision. It narrows what we see. It keeps us from recognizing God when he's right in front of us, and we can't see him because we've allowed our lives to be so tomb-shaped by living in this life. Standing in front of something that looks and feels like a tomb, and it's a situation that feels final. It feels like a loss that's irreversible, a season in your life or in mine that feels empty. And honestly, you're not here seeking resurrection like she wasn't, or the ladies in Luke 24. And sometimes we don't recognize Jesus as he's right in front of us. And then everything changes. She looks toward this gardener, and everything changes for her in one word. She says, "Please, sir, tell me where my Savior is, and I'll go get him." And the one who stands right next to her replies, "Mary." And in that moment, her life is forever changed. Because she recognizes and realizes that Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the tomb. Oh, he's risen. He's risen indeed. And there's something that changes in her. And in Aramaic, she boldly shouts, "Rabboni," or teacher. What she's saying is, "You're not dead. You're alive. You're risen." And so all our hopes replace our fears. Joy replaces our grief. The finality of this world that seems like such a dead end is no longer dead-ended because he's risen. That life, no matter how disappointing it's been for someone in this room, doesn't have to stay that way, because just as he calls Mary's name, he's calling yours. John, Charlie, Jack, Mary, Sarah, Kathy. No, he's there calling out names. The issue's never been, is he in the house? Is he in the room? That's never been the issue. The issue will always be, how do we respond? Are we filled with such anticipation about ham and mashed potatoes that we miss the reality that he's here in this room with us today? And he wants to give us new life. That same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead according to Scripture is available to you. In that moment, fear loses its grip and we get clarity of sight. I think if that were my prayer for someone in this room, it would be for you to receive clarity of sight today. Clarity of sight. Because he's here. Well, yeah, Pastor, he might be here in the sanctuary, but he's not in the multipurpose room. Yes, he is. Well, he can't be in the foyer with all of us standing out here. Yes, he is. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's in this place. Right here, right now. And as much as I look forward to the day and I say, Jesus, come quickly. Don't shortchange what he wants to do in you between now and the time that he returns or that we go to meet him. Oh, he's alive. And he wants to make you alive. Some of you, I don't know how to say this nicely, but some of you need resurrection today. Say, well, how do you know? Because I needed it. I was dead. He made me alive. Why do you think it was such a joy for me to baptize three of my grandchildren last night? Because I'm grandpa? Well, certainly that's part of it. But when I looked at them in the eyes and I said, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yeah, I have, Grandpa. I have, Pa. Well, that's a deal changer. See, the point isn't me living my life in such a way that I make it to heaven. The real life-changing moment is when I make sure that my children and their children and your children come to know that he's a God and he's real and he died and he rose again. Life is not to be lived normally anymore. Say, you want us to be abnormal? A little. In a normal sort of way. He stands here today to call your name. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for these who listen to my scratchings in my voice and still hear your message. Jesus, there are people in this room that need to hear their name. Need to hear their name called out by you. With every head bowed and eye closed, I won't take long, but you know I've been speaking to you. You know. It's not up for possible or maybe or hopefully. You know I've been speaking to you. You're here today and you need Jesus. You need a Savior. His name is Jesus and he's calling your name today. If you're here and you need a Savior, if you're in the multi-purpose, one of the foyers in this room, lift your hand and say, that's me. You've been talking to me today, Ray. Lift your hand and just say, that's me. Anyone in this room before we pray, I see your hand and God sees your heart. Anyone else today? I see your hand, sir, and God sees your heart. Anyone else? You need resurrection power in your life, your marriage, your relationships today. Anyone else before we pray? Lord, we humbly lay this all at your feet, our worship, our praise, the word, the words. Lord, help us to see that you've changed everything by your death and resurrection. The tomb does not win. Our past does not win. Our fear, our grief, our loss will not win, will not prevail. Because you have come. And Lord, forgive us of sin. Call us to yourself. Teach us what it means to live for you today. Today. Help those of us in the church to live in resurrection power. We'll give you the praise. I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me. You thought I had forgotten this. I didn't. I just saved it till the end. You know where I'm going. Before we receive communion, or communion, let's just do it all today. Before we receive, watch these baptisms, I'll say he is risen. You'll say he is risen indeed. And we'll do it three times as historically that's what's done. Let it ring throughout this building today. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. Amen. Let's worship while we baptize some people today.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.